This is The Agenda from News Radio 560, KPQ, and KPQ.com, where topics of local concern are open for discussion.
Thanks for joining us on The Agenda today, and we welcome the Director of Communications for the Washington State Patrol, Chris Loftus. Chris, thanks for being with us today. You sent out the information about an emphasis patrol this weekend. It's the slowdown move over emphasis patrols. This is something that we remind people, courtesy of Randy's Towing, our traffic watch sponsor. It's really for, we're all mindful of, hopefully, law enforcement on the side of the road, but really for the safety of any vehicle that's working traffic control, rescuing someone, or those DOT crews. It's really for any of those emergency vehicles on the side of the road.
There's a lot of people who go to work every day, and their office is that side of the road. And they're friends and neighbors. They're people that that we work with, we know, and we want to keep them safe. But we need to show them the respect that of giving them a safe place to work. So when you're coming up on those flashing lights, regardless of the situation, we want you to slow down. We want you to move over.
Now, I guess what's a good rule of thumb for a practice that you should do when you see that? What if you can't move over? What if there is no other lane? What are the general rules under this move over law?
Well, the RCW that affects this was actually updated this spring. It went into effect first of July. You're now required, if you can't move over, to slow down to at least 10 miles below the posted speed limit, and that's an at least. We want to, we ask people always to be mindful of the conditions, and if the weather's bad, if the visibility's bad, that at least is just a threshold. You need to slow down to be safe to the conditions that you're facing. Remember that this is a big state. Our state's larger than a lot of countries, and we have a lot of traffic, all sorts of traffic and all sorts of roadways, everything from the interstates with 18-wheelers driving by you at 60 miles an hour to rural areas like where I live, where it may be a John Deere tractor on the road that you're going passing, and so we have to be careful. Every 4 minutes in this state we have an accident. Every 15 minutes someone's injured in an accident, and unfortunately every 20 hours in this state someone's killed in a traffic accident. So we've got to be careful, and when those things happen, we've got to be even more careful for the people who are responding, whether it's law enforcement, whether it's emergency responders and medical responders, or whether it's people who are just trying to clean up the side of the roads and make things better, to build the bridges and to fix the exits and to fix the signage. All those folks deserve to get home tonight.
Yeah, I think maybe the simplest rule to follow, if you see any kind of vehicle there other than maybe just somebody's passenger vehicle, any kind of vehicle that's doing a job, doing something there, official, slow down, move over, and remember, it's the move over law. Pretty steep fine if you're violating.
$214, and that cannot be waived or reduced. This is a nice to do, obviously. It's just showing people respect and being safe and being good citizens. But this is also a have to do. This is a must to do. We've got to be more careful. Every year we have folks that just here in the State Patrol. Since 2016, we've had 104 patrol cars have been hit on the side of the road, and we've had 27 injuries just since 2016. And in our almost 100 years of service, we're coming up on our centennial here in a couple of years, we've lost 29 troopers in that 98 years that we've been around, and a good many of those were folks who were doing their job, and because of inattentive or reckless drivers who weren't paying attention to those lights, people have died on the side of the roads that wore the same uniform. So we're very serious about it. We want everybody to get home tonight. We really do.
And even though we're talking to Chris Loftus, who's Director of Communications for the Washington State Patrol, again, this applies to certainly all law enforcement, any kind of emergency vehicle, a tow truck operator, a DOT, might even be a garbage truck there on
sure.
The side of the road, the DOT maintenance workers, all of those vehicles slow down, move over, and the emphasis patrols this weekend. So are there extra troopers out on the roadway? But when you do these sorts of things, what does emphasis patrol mean?
Well, it can mean extra troopers in specific locations that are deployed depending on the history of certain roadways and what our statistics tell us things are going, you know, are more likely to happen. But it's also just every trooper on the road at any given time is just more aware that we're looking at this and that we're keeping an eye open for it. The bottom line is that you shouldn't have to have an emphasis patrol to do the right thing. But for this weekend, we'll be keeping a more careful eye and a specific eye out for these sorts of things. And you're absolutely right. It's not just troopers. It's anybody. You know, even if you see somebody pulled on the road and they've got a flat tire, if you've ever had that happen, you know that there's cars even in a what is effectively a slow lane, even at 35, 40 miles an hour, when you're squatted down under your car trying to position that jack and vehicles are going by just a few inches away at 35, 40 miles an hour, it can be scary. And when you get on that interstate and it's more like 55, 60, 65, even 70 miles an hour, it can be a humbling experience. And unfortunately, it can be a dangerous experience. So regardless of when you see anything with a flashing light, or even if it's just the flashing lights of someone's hazard lights on their car, slow down, move over, give everybody a break. Let's do the right thing here.
Yeah, and you're exactly right about that. Chris, you said it's an emphasis patrol this weekend, but last year, I'm looking at your statistics, nearly 4,800 drivers were contacted for move-over violations last year. And I'm just rounding out the math, that's like 400 a month. That's more than 10 a day.
Yep. Like I say, we're serious about this. You know, we're serious about keeping people safe. We're serious about keeping the roadways safe, keeping them clear. When we have accidents compounded upon other accidents, it just blocks up traffic. You know, take away the safety issue, take away the tragedy issue. Now we're just looking at the slowdowns and the diversions around accidents. You know, we did a study that showed that for every minute the interstates close, it's a cost of about $500 to businesses in the state. So every time we shut the road down to investigate a collision, every time we shut the road down to move cars, every time we do anything like that, it's real money out of people's pockets. That's secondary to lives and property, you know, and the damage to people's hopes and dreams in accidents. But all of that adds up to a very serious situation. And it's, you know, all those secondary accidents, they're all preventable. If we slow down, if we move over, we're going to prevent those things. They don't have to happen. So let's do it.
Yeah, we've seen plenty of those viral videos where it shows the dash cam from the trooper's car, and he's just leaping out of the way just in the nick of time. And it would be nice if we didn't see as many of those, unfortunately. So the emphasis patrol is this weekend. These emphasis patrols are fairly prevalent throughout the course of the year, focusing on different things. Do they seem to pay off pretty well?
They do. They do. People, we're very fortunate and very appreciative of folks like you in the media who share our concern for public safety. We're very appreciative of people getting that message out. And people listen. People hear it. Also, WatchDOT, you know, puts the mobile visual reader boards that you see on the around the state. They'll put messages. People read those. People do slow down. Everybody, you know, everybody really wants to do the right thing, but sometimes we just have to be reminded. Sometimes we're driving down the road and we're just not paying as much attention as we should. We're thinking about work. We're thinking about the weekend. We're thinking about whatever that issue is that we're paid to think about, or that we have to think about as a mom or a dad or a son or a daughter. And we just kind of put ourselves in an autopilot and kind of forget those, not just those little courtesies, but those little safety issues that will keep us all alive. We've got to stop forgetting those things. We've got to keep them top of mind. We've got to pay attention. We've got to put our phones down, and we've got to move over, and we've got to slow down when we see those flashing lights.
Well, Chris, we appreciate the time today to point out the importance of the slowdown move over law. It's the law, and the emphasis is going to be this weekend. It's actually today running through Sunday, so I want to remind folks to pay special attention at all times, but with a particular emphasis this weekend. Let's make a habit of it. Anything else, a message from the State Patrol you'd like to pass along? Well, we've got the Director of Communications with us here.
Well, I'll tell you what, when you look at avoidable accidents, speed, impaired driving, and distracted driving, those are the three killers in this state. So each of those is a decision that somebody's making. You're making a decision to go too fast. Make the decision to go the speed limit and pay attention. You're making a decision to have your cell phone and be texting and that sort of thing while you're driving. That's a bad decision. Make the decision to be focused. And, of course, you're making the decision to drive after drinking from the cup or smoking from the pipe. You've got to put those things down and pay attention. We can have safe roads. We can have safer roads. We can all get home, but we've got to make that decision to do it.
Thanks for the message. Chris Loftus, Director of Communications with the Washington State Patrol.
Thanks, sir.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ, KPQ.com, and streaming on Alexa or the KPQ mobile app.
Well, the Wenatchee School District right now, top administration, proposing a 30-cent levy increase as a way to stabilize the budget and avoid further impacts to staff. Matter under discussion coming up on Tuesday's Wenatchee School Board meeting. Earlier this month, we talked about the transition plan for the new Wenatchee School Superintendent, Dr. Paul Gordon. He joined us on an edition of The Agenda, along with Dana Haglund, the Director of Communications for the Wenatchee School District. So we thought we'd bring you that interview, and then we'll focus on the transition for Gordon as he takes over for the superintendent, Brian Flotis, just about ready to start the school year, but here are some of the highlights from that and the transition plan for new superintendent Gordon with the Wenatchee School District. What is your leadership style? And folks can mm-hmm. see this whole plan online, I presume, but yeah. What is your leadership style, would you describe?
So I would describe my leadership style as one that I believe in this the mantra of clear as kind, being really honest with people, ensuring that I lead a life of integrity, that I believe in relationships, and that I'm inclusive, that we bring people to the table, we have conversations, and that we think about what we're doing and how it impacts not just today but tomorrow. So I try to also see our organizations and systems, and how does the system work, and how do all the dots connect and do right by our kids. So at the end of the day, that's what drives me, are our students. Every one of our students, no matter their background, that's what drives me. But my leadership style allows me to get to the students and do the work that our kids need and are depending on.
How was Glen Ellen School District, from a multiracial mm-hmm. component, similar or dissimilar to Wenatchee? We have a significant Latino mm-hmm. population. How similar or dissimilar was it?
Fairly dissimilar. Glen Ellen is more wealthy overall, with about an 18% Hispanic minority population, so a little bit different, but we had one of our schools had roughly 42% of our students were receiving free and reduced population, so it was definitely different. Wenatchee resembles more of Adams 12, a very diverse district. Again, that school district that school district had, when I was there, roughly 60 schools and a wide range of socioeconomic, racial, ethnic diversity in the district. But Glen Ellen was a little bit different, but still some of those same core instructional and educational issues that arise in every school district in the country, of really trying to say, how do we create a more equitable education for every student, and how do we support every student on their learning trajectory. That piece is still the same. That's the hard work of education.
We're talking with Dr. Paul Gordon, the new Wenatchee School District Superintendent, and right now in the first phase of a transition plan. And kind of the July-August period is kind of introduction, going around meeting as many people as you can. Let me have you kind of describe what you're using this kind of July-August period for. No one's really in school, so what are you trying to accomplish? What's happening during this very first phase of your transition plan?
I appreciate the question. We, Diana and I and my team, we have been out. We've been meeting a number of community members. So that's been one of the most important aspects of the transition plan is to getting out, meeting people. As somebody who's new to the state, new to the district, it's critical that I get to know our community, our business leaders, our chamber leaders, just the leaders within our community, to get to know who they are. And to start, as I said, one of my values is the relationships. Relationships are key to everything that I do. And it starts with that first handshake and that first opportunity to sit with somebody and really listen to their stories. And that's what we've been able to do, is to begin this process. And it is a process. It's a long process, because I think most people are looking for, is this guy going to show back up? I get he's coming here today, but will he be here tomorrow? And that answer is yes. We're here. We're going to be engaged. We want to be a part of this community. My wife and I are fully committed to the Wenatchee Valley and to the community. But that early transition is working with community leaders, parents, being able to meet a number of students, even though the official school year is out. We've been at summer camp, summer school, and enjoying that.
We have been everywhere. So, you know, this, we've divided it up into kind of tiers just to try and make that introduction process doable. You know, being superintendent is a busy job, even in the summer when there's no students around. So we've really tried to make sure that we provide opportunities for Paul to meet one-on-one with a lot of our community leaders, influencers, and peers, just to give him a lay of the land of, you know, who some of our large employers are, who are our, you know, go-to partners that work a lot with our schools, just to kind of help in that introduction process. And then from there, once school gets started, there's lots of opportunities to get him out in front of staff and students, get him into the buildings, observing and meeting, because there's so many people to meet just in our own school system. Mm-hmm. And then working our way, you know, out and meeting with service clubs and other organizations, and really kind of broadening the scope of who he's going to meet. And this isn't just in the first 6 months or even in the first month of Paul being here. This is it. This is how we do our business. But there's just going to be that strong focus over the next year, school year, to really get him engaged and out in the community at this point.
Actually, one of the pieces that I'd be remiss if I didn't bring up is the work with the Board of Education. We've done some really important early work. We came in July 10th, right out of the gate, and had a great conversation with our board around roles, responsibility, policy, governance, and as a team. And I really do view the board, myself, or cabinet, as a team. And how do we do this work going forward? And so everyone is crystal clear. It goes back to that value of clear is kind. And it's important that everybody understands this is my role as a superintendent, as a board. They have one employee, and that is me as their employee. And how do we want to communicate? How do we want to operate our meetings? So that was an important early goal. And by all measures, it was a huge success. Board members were really pleased with the outcome of that early afternoon meeting.
Mm-hmm. Any surprises so far?
I think the surprises are all great surprises. It's just again, as I said early on, the welcoming nature of the Wenatchee Valley and the community is overwhelming. From our new next door neighbor reaching over and handing over a big old bowl of tomatoes to neighbors coming over and speaking with us. But every time Diana and I are in the community, last night is another great example. People just coming up and really wanting to meet me and share how excited they are that my wife and I are in the community. And it's genuine. It's authentic. So that's been this great surprise of the welcoming, the openness to really talk about what we're doing as a district. And that's the other part of our engagement with our community leaders and community members, is asking people, honestly, talk to us about the school district. And people have done a really nice job of talking to us about the Valley overall, but then again in our school district, from those great successes, and we have so many of them that we should be really proud of, and a couple of the obstacles and barriers to doing this work.
We're talking with Dr. Paul Gordon. He is the brand new Wenatchee School District superintendent. We're about to take a break, but just maybe a moment or two about, the baton handoff from Superintendent Flonis. He was here a long time, and you know, how has that gone? Is it literally like a relay race where he's handing a baton off, so to speak? If we think of a track race, just how has that transition gone from administration to the next?
Yeah, I think it's a great analogy. Prior to me starting on July 1st, I was out here, I think it was late April.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Brian and I met, and he was so gracious, and we spent time together really understanding a lot of the culture pieces. Not so much, you know, this is the X's and O's of this work, but really the culture that he and his team, I mean, Brian, in superintendent world, 19 years is unheard of. That is so impressive in the work that he and his team and teachers in the community accomplished over those 19 years. He was able to share all, you know, that information with me, how they built the culture, what are those foundational pieces that continue to work today for them. And he's absolutely been amazing. I've just continued to reach out and say, you know, Paul, whenever, and we'll set up some more time once I'm able to breathe a little bit after this early July-August meeting. So it's just that great connection. He's he's just an outstanding person who's willing to do anything and everything for the school district.
We're talking with Dr. Paul Gordon with the transition plan, as he is now assuming the reins of control for the Wenatchee School District. In a Best Of segment on the agenda, we'll get a few more details on that transition plan as we continue with a previous segment on the agenda from earlier this month on News Radio 560 KPQ.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ, KPQ.com, and streaming on Alexa or the KPQ mobile app.
And the conversation with Superintendent Paul Gordon with Wenatchee School District and Diana Haglund, Communications Director, on the district transition plan to new leadership and how long that transition plan will be in place.
You just don't walk in and change a school district. That's not what I'm doing, at least. It really is around listening, learning, and then leading, with the emphasis on listening and learning about the Wenatchee School District. It's important that we're spending this time, this valuable time with our community leaders and community members, to really understand the nuances of the Valley and the school district itself. So that very thoughtful plan that we developed to ensure that we spend time here. And then there will be a time to, once we really have a deep understanding of where we're currently at, our current reality, and then we're going to, again, re-engage community members around where are we going? What do we want for our school district? And that's an important piece, and it's a piece within the plan, is begin the process, and it is a lengthy process around a strategic plan. And from that strategic plan, that's when boards and superintendents and districts really coalesce around what is it we're trying to accomplish. For me, I'm a big end in, what's the end goal here? What's the end in mind? What are we trying to do? So some of that work will be around a student graduate profile, working with community members, parents, students, the board, staff. What is it we envision for our students to become? And then that hard work is, how do we get there? But to really define those big goals we're trying to accomplish. Because I'm a big believer in 2 to 3 goals and really going after them, being hyper-focused on the work that we need to do. But that, before you can do any of that, you must listen and learn. You, again, going back to, I'm a new guy in town. I'm a new guy to the school district. This is a great opportunity for us to hear the stories of Wenatchee. And I really do want to do that. And it's an important piece for me, for Diana, and my cabinet team.
There's been a lot of transition on the Wenatchee School Board. Again, we've got, 3 seats on the ballot here this fall. And just in my conversations with school board candidates, not only for Wenatchee, but also over in the Eastmont School Board, not naming any particular candidates, but the item has come up in a number of those candidate interviews that we need to do maybe a better job of helping kids recognize early on in their high school, those 4 years of high school, whether they should be on a college track or maybe on a trade school track. What are your thoughts on that? Because I've noticed a few of the candidates, whether it's on this side of the river or the other side of the river, have brought that up. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, I think one of our primary jobs is to make sure that our kids can think, that we give our kids the tools, the skills to truly be able to think and to discern information and summarize information, and then be able to come up with their own ideas and thinking. And if we do that, and that's not just a high school piece. I think too often we think the Holy Grail is high school, and kids will then magically somehow be able to do all that work. This starts in preschool. This starts in kindergarten, where we really need to work with our kids to create thinkers, critical thinkers about the world around us. Not how to think, not what to believe in, but honestly, the skills it takes to critically think are very different, and we have to put our kids in those situations. And some of those situations are around struggle, error, and at times failure. But what we need to do is make sure that we're creating these incredibly safe environments where kids know it's okay to demonstrate their thinking, their processing, even if it's incorrect. And having staff members around them to guide, support, not to give the answer, but to show them a pathway forward. And again, when you know a little bit about the brain research, it's important for the brain to struggle. And we need to put those opportunities and really making sure that we're having rigorous opportunities. And then to answer your question around college and career, our goal, is to ensure that every kid has every opportunity available to them to open the doors that they choose to open, be it college, be it career, but that when they have a Wenatchee School District diploma, that diploma means something, and it opens the doors to wherever they want to go, from military service to working in a trade to going to Harvard, Yale, or Wenatchee Valley Community College. All of those things are critical to us. I'm not going to get into kids have to go on this path or this path. I want to be on we need to ensure every kid has every opportunity to think critically, to be creative, to be able to write and read and do those things that the employers are looking for. Employers nationwide always tell us, we're going to teach them the skills that we need for our job. You need to teach them how to think. So that, to me, is a bigger issue than whatever pathway that we choose.
I notice another part of your plan, a big component of your plan, it's continue to cultivate a supportive, positive district climate and culture. What does that mean to you? How do you achieve that?
Now, hopefully I'm pretty consistent here. Relationships. I think people need to know that we care for each other. We may disagree, but we're going to do it in a respectful, kind manner where we have conversations, where we sit with each other, where we listen to each other. And we build this culture where people can talk to us, be honest about it, and not have to tell us, you know, everything's great in the school districts. But we can have really honest conversations about our schools, about our educational outcomes that we're achieving, But you do that by demonstrating that it's a safe learning environment. So what's good for our kids where we're creating these incredible safe environments, it's true for the adults and the adult brain as well. People need to know it's safe. It's good. And we're out there. And mm-hmm. people have asked Diana a number of times, they're like, is this really Paul or is he just doing this? Is this
is
his 30
days?
This
is just a PR move, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, we've had some really candid, honest conversations, and that's what we're looking for.
Yeah.
You know, we don't need people to tell us that, yeah, everything's great, it's fine. We want to hear what's not working.
Tell me my baby's
what's
ugly.
Well,
if
right.
necessary.
I like that. I'm going to start using that. But we want people to be really honest with us. You know, what have we been doing well? Where are areas we can improve? And then how do you want to partner with us? How can we do that together? And I think those are really instrumental in building that culture of trust and support from, you know, our staff, all of our stakeholders, our students, our parents. You know, we want to extend that culture beyond the four walls of the mm-hmm. school so that these are community schools and people feel vested and invested in them.
So Diana Haglin and the communications director for the school district with Dr. Paul Gordon, new superintendent for Wenatchee School District, on the transition plan. You can read the full plan on the Wenatchee School District website as the school bell about to ring here in the Wenatchee Valley. And, of course, next to Tuesday, the Wenatchee School Board takes up a discussion matter on a proposed 30-cent levy hike as a way to stabilize a budget for the school district for the next couple of years. So an important matter at that Wenatchee School Board meeting coming up on Tuesday, August the 27th. So bringing you a little bit of the background and direction Wenatchee School District Superintendent Paul Gordon is headed with his transition plan here in Wenatchee.